so many who hate you, so many who demonstrate against you. Oh, it may be demonstrations against this injustice or that injustice, but Lord, really, it's lives full of hate, bitterness. Lord, I pray that you would use this time as we look into your word to change us, to mold us, to make us more like you, so that we might follow you more closely, so we might become more like you. We pray now for your presence. Open our hearts, open our ears, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you have a creation moment. I'm just going to let you read through that. I just had a couple slides up there of the shrimp fish. And it is another demonstration as you read through it of God's creativeness, God's amazing majesty to create an animal that is just so odd and yet another purpose, another place in His creation. Amazing that God would create a creature like that. Why? But for us to enjoy. So, I want us to think about the times that you've been overwhelmed. The times that you have felt overcome. I know that I have, at times, felt just overwhelmed. I mean, it happens probably multiple times a day, it seems. Where, you know, you just start thinking about all the stuff that crashes down on you. Maybe it's the bills. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your grandkids. Maybe it's your spouse. Somebody, somewhere, somehow, and you get this feeling of, you know, it's hard to take it. It's hard to bear up under it. I wonder the consistency of Scripture in that, and how really we can overcome these things. What do we do to overcome these things? I know at the times that I felt that overwhelming feeling, or being, you know, kind of trying to tread water, it's when my strength is ebbing away, when I'm feeling weak and tired. We all get weary. We all get tired, and we all get that feeling. It might be watching the news. I know that the news has not been the best as of late. And we watch these demonstrations and these murders and these senseless killings. And we just wonder, with all the turmoil around, what's the point? What's God trying to show us? What does the Bible have to say about it? I think we need something to help us build up our strength. Number one thing is the Bible, and I want us to go there. John chapter 15, 1643 in your pew Bibles. You know, if you don't consistently read the Bible, then you're going to find yourself more overwhelmed than not. You know, I find myself getting too busy, and I know what happens is Satan throws stuff at you to get you occupied. And you get up in the morning, you know, I find that's the best time for me to get into the Scriptures. And I've been going through Proverbs, as you know, and I'll probably start at the beginning once I get done with it. But But I'm reading through the Proverbs, and but there's been times where I get up in the morning and it's like, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that, and suddenly I find myself halfway or more through the day and I have not gotten into the Scriptures. And it seems like those are the times when, you know, that overwhelming feeling, that feeling of ah, you ever get that feeling? John 15, verse 5, we'll start there. We'll read through verse 8. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus speaking. The man remains in me and I'm in him. He will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and the branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Well, we all know, because we've done gardening work and we've done other things, that when you cut off a branch from its source, a tree, for instance, or like the other day, Bella, my granddaughter, our granddaughter, she wanted to bring Kathy some flowers. And she plucked them off, and before she could get back to the house, they had withered to the extent the flowers, the petals were falling off and everything else. But she got to give her something else that was even better. But the thing is that when we cut a branch off from the source, the leaves get brown, it withers, it dies, it dries up. And if we're cleaning a piece of property, we throw those branches on a fire and burn them up, because we don't want all that debris laying around for years and years and years. Jesus relates us as branches, and he being the vine. And he says, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So here's the point. If we remove ourselves, which we can do, from him, then we wither. We feel the overwhelming feelings. We feel overcome. We feel like we have no strength. We feel like we are failing. And that's exactly the point. Jesus says to remain in him. If anyone does not remain in me, like a branch thrown away and withers. He wants us to bear much fruit. And so he wants us to remain in him. And the vine is where the strength comes from. We cannot remove ourselves from the branch, or from the vine. Now I want you to look at Philippians chapter 4 for that emphasis. 1788 in your pew Bibles. 1788. Chapter 4 in Philippians. We'll start in verse 10. It says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you've been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. You know, I always think of Paul as being that guy that he's on fire. He's on top of it. He's the immovable, the unshakable Paul. And yet in Scripture, we find that's not the case. In Romans, he says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. He prayed for boldness. He prayed that people would give, you know, that they would pray for him and that he would have the strength to continue on. Just imagine a guy who gets stoned to death, dragged out of the city and thrown on the garbage heap. He comes to, whether he came back to life or he was just knocked out, we don't know. It doesn't say. But he comes to, he shakes his head, and he thinks, I guess I'll go back into that city and preach the gospel some more. If it were me, I'd be looking for somewhere to go elsewhere. I'd do what Jesus told the disciples to do, shake the dust off my sandals and carry on. But not Paul. He had a mission. And he said, he felt, and what it says here, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. He knew what it was like to be in need. He knew what it was like to have lots. Regardless of his circumstances, regardless of where he was or what he did, he was in the vine. He was connected to the vine. Because in Christ, he could do everything. He could do whatever was necessary. And I'm not telling you that you can jump off the top of the building and that, hey, I can do everything through Christ. You can break your leg too. Stand in front of a bus going 70 miles an hour saying, I can do everything. I can stop this bus. No, you'll probably see Jesus sooner than you expected. But it's telling us that we can do whatever God calls us to do, anything He wants us to do, we can do in Him. If we're in the vine, Jesus told us, we ask of Him and it'll be done. I really believe that we limit God in a huge amount of way because we listen to our brain, not to our heart, not to the Word. Our brain tells you can't do that. And I know there's a lot of people here, and I don't want to pick on anybody, but a lot of people here, they say, well, I can't do that. I've done it. I can't do that. I had a preacher tell me one time, he says, can't or won't. Because if we say we can't do this or can't do that for the Lord, we're contradicting His Scripture. His word that He tells us. Literally what Jesus said in His own word. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Anything you can do. You can do whatever I call you to do. And Paul saying, I can do everything through Him which strengthens me. So if we say, I can't, we're saying to God, oh, He just put that down for to really yank our leg. Chain, you know, to give us a hard time. He didn't do that. We're listening to our brain too much. And we're limiting ourselves. Because He gave us the Holy Spirit to accomplish all things for Him. To preach the gospel, to witness for Him, to do whatever He calls us to do. Now, I don't know what that is in your life. He might be tugging on you to go in the mission field. And you might be saying to yourself, well, I'm too old to do that. Be careful. Nothing is impossible for you. I remember a story, I've told it before. The man that came back to the States because he was having heart trouble. He was a missionary. He loved the people that he was preaching to. He came back to the United States and they said, well, you got to have surgery. And at that time, it was one of those imitation valves, you know, that they click, 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 you know, and they put that in and they told him, don't go back to the mission field because you won't last a year with all that dust and dirt and walking the roads and, you know, all the stuff that the physical activity, you'd never make it. You won't make it a year. He said, you know what? I thank you for your advice, but I believe what God said. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. That as long as I'm in the vine, He allows me to do whatever He calls me to do. And if I only have a year, then I only have a year. I'll take whatever God gives me. Do we have that same faith? Do we have that same desire and commitment? He went back to the mission field. You know what? He lasted 10 more years. 10 more years for the Lord. And his ministry was even greater. You know why? Because he had a heart that clicked. And all the natives ran to see him. Because they wanted to hear that heart that clicked. And they said, "What's in there?" And he was able to witness to them, share the gospel, and hundreds came to the Lord through him. We got to get our eyes off of the me, off of my, off of numero uno, and put our eyes on the real numero uno. I want us to go to 2 Corinthians 17:56 in your pew Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starts in verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll skip around a little bit. Starting in verse 4, we know, verse 4, it says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." You see, there's our mind working again. Satan got into their minds, the unbelievers' minds, and he blinds them up. He puts the blinders on their eyes, and he doesn't let them see the truth of the gospel. And so they go wandering around this world, and they go by everything they see. They go by everything they think. "Well, I think this, and I think that. I don't believe in God. I believe in evolution, and I believe in this, and I believe in that." And they go and run their lives by believing things that are contrary to the Scripture. And you know what that's going to get them? A reserved spot in hell. Because those who live against God's principles will not inherit the kingdom of God. Scripture is very plain on that. And it's constant and undisputed what the Scripture says. Now, I can justify all kinds of things in my mind. I can say, "Well, God loves us unconditionally." Yes, He does. But you know what? Sin is sin, and He told us you need to ask for forgiveness. You need to come to Him and receive Him into your life and change your way. Repentance means to turn around and not do what you were doing before. And I can say that, "Oh, he didn't really mean that in Romans 1 when he said that, you know, people who lust after the same sex, that's going to be a problem." That's what he said. We can't justify it and dismiss it away. We can't dismiss the notions about love and marriage and relationships, because it's clear. Paul says that the marriage bed should be undefiled. What are we doing with that? Look around. The Scripture is plain about violence, about disrespecting one another, about murder, which has been happening in the news constantly. And we say to ourselves, you know, "What in the world is going on?" And we're overwhelmed by it. Because Satan has blinded the eyes of unbelievers. Verse 5, it says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We have this treasure in jars of clay, these bodies of ours. It's all surpassing power is from God and not from us. He's the vine, we're the branches." I added that. "We're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We'll always carry around in this body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." You see what he's telling us? He says, as long as you're in Christ, The all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We're hard-pressed. We're perplexed. We're persecuted. We're struck down. But we're not crushed. We're not in despair. We're not abandoned. And we're not destroyed. Nothing can throw us to the wayside. No thing here in this world can destroy us because we're in Christ. We're in the vine. And as long as we're in the vine, we continue to bear up under all circumstances. I want you to skip down to verse 18. It says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is, what is unseen is eternal." So there's our brain again, getting in the way. Our brain, it says, "Oh my gosh, you know, this is happening, that's happening. Look at what's happening in the world. Look at what the government's doing. Look at what the Congress is doing. Look at what the president's doing. Look at what, oh my gosh, Facebook." And we get all, we're overwhelmed by the things of this world, and we should not be. We should be in the vine, and we should be gaining our strength and our power from Him. Because the all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. I can't give you that power. I cannot do any more than what God is giving me and allowing. And I have to avail myself. I have to stay in the vine. Just as much as you have to stay in the vine. Because if we separate ourselves from the vine, we're lost. We find ourselves overwhelmed and overtaken by what's going on around us. And it doesn't matter what's happening in the government. It doesn't matter what the news is telling us about what people are doing to one another. What matters is what we're doing with Jesus Christ. What are we doing for Jesus Christ? How are we spreading the gospel? Are we witnessing at all? Are we sharing the gospel at all? You know, if not, maybe we need to look inside and find out, are we saved? Jesus Christ needs to be all in all every day. Verse 16 in chapter 4, it says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." We're renewed day by day. Why? Because I get into the Word. I stay in the vine. I pray. I get into the Bible. I stay in it. I immerse and cover myself with Scriptures. And then when I watch that news and I watch all those things, instead of saying, "Oh, how horrible, what is wrong with this country," I get on my knees and pray. God knows this nation, this world needs prayer. It's the one thing, we were visiting Denver Jameson the other day, and she said, "Well, you know, what can I do?" I said, "Denver, you can do something that we all don't do enough, and that's pray. We have one of the most powerful tools in our toolbox that God has given us through His Spirit, and that is prayer. And what do? We get too busy. We pray at night when we go to bed and fall asleep. We hear about someone who needs prayer and we go, 'I'll pray for you,' turn around and we forget. We've got a paper out there that Franz had made up that has different time periods on it for people to pray around the clock. I think there's maybe a 5 or 6 names on that paper. Lord, help us. I think from Saturday night to today, the sermon took a whole different turn. But this is what God wants us to know. And I believe that we need to get off of our seats, staying as quiet as I can, and pray. We need to take it seriously, because if we don't, then we will be overwhelmed. And Jesus said, "Be at peace. These things I've told you. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be at peace. I've overcome the world." He overcame the world. Let's trust Him. Let's stay in the vine. I'd like us to pray first before we sing this last song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, forgive us. We have neglected the most important part of the Christian life. Is our relationship with You. And that relationship is not only Scripture, but it's also prayer. We find ourselves weakened. We find ourselves overwhelmed and overcome by the things that are going on around us because we've neglected the most important part. We talk the talk. We come on Sundays and we say and tell people we're Christians, but we need to get into Your Word. We need to get into prayer. We need to fix our eyes on You. We need to stay in the vine so that we would never be overcome by this world. Lord, I pray that You will build in us Your character, that You will challenge us to commitment. Lord, we thank You again for this morning, and thank You for what You have shared with us. We pray as we sing this song that it's with new voices, with a new heart, that our minds would get out of the way. We let Your Spirit move through us and accomplish great things. Nothing is impossible when we're connected to the vine, when we serve You. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and...